an unreliable partner. Some of you may know me because I ran about 2 months ago for the by-election for school board trustee in Coquitlam. So you might have seen my name on the ballot if you were one of the 1.17% of Coquitlam that actually went and voted in that by-election. So I'm hoping that this federal election will have a lot higher turnout than that. And being from Port Moody, we have some beautiful parks, and we need to fight hard to make sure the green space grows in accordance with the rapid population growth that we're seeing in the Lower Mainland. We need a strong federal representative to make sure that these policies are priorities for the next government and not just things that would be nice to have. As the youngest candidate here, I am a stark reminder of how dire the climate crisis is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Next candidate is Laura.
Hello, everyone. I, too, would like to acknowledge the First Nations land we are on, unceded. I would also like to mention that the name of the Coquitlam First Nations community is named after redfish up the river, an important resource in this community that the First Nations peoples have taken care of since time immemorial. Thank you to organizers, attendees, the Tri-City Community Television, and the community groups who are here to do such good work. We are in challenging times. People in our communities are really struggling right now. There is an existential threat facing us from the U.S. that people are deeply concerned about. When I'm door knocking, sometimes people are in tears telling me about how worried they are about the issues that we face in terms of tariffs and annexation. They are very worried about those things. The climate crisis sometimes seems to be last on the list, but it isn't going away. We know that emissions are climbing and governments are ignoring the problem. When I was on the Metro Climate Committee, we had the sustainability teams, a group of young people come to us and tell us that our generation is destroying the mental well-being of their generation because of our lack of action on the climate crisis. I will let you know I feel deeply obligated to this. I could not be more committed to this issue. I was born in Alberta and I learned about rivers there, learned to fall in love with them. I've been defending rivers since I've lived in this community. And I am willing to go to bat to make sure that we have healthy water, clean air to breathe, and a healthy environment, because life depends on it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Glenister. I'm running for the Green Party in Coquitlam, Port Coquitlam. That's this area. My day job is a high school science teacher. I'm also a part-time magician and a part-time Uber driver. But anyway, when I was in high school, my high school history teacher said something that struck with me, which was, she said she didn't want us to be voters that said, you know, my family's always voted conservative, so I'm voting conservative. Or, you know, the leader of the Liberals is somebody I'd have to drink with this, so I'll vote for him. Instead, she wanted us to be educated voters. So I vote for whoever I think is the best candidate in the party at the time. I voted conservative when I lived in Ottawa in the 1980s. I almost voted for Trudeau when he promised to have a referendum on proportional representation, but I'm jaded enough not to believe what politicians say during the election cycle, so I wasn't surprised that he dropped that one. What I am concerned with, though, is the environment, and I believe in fairness, both in the way you treat people and voting. So lately I prefer to vote green. I've been environmentally conscious since I was a kid. I've been involved in beach cleanups, removal of invasive species from parks, and monitoring water quality of streams. I also do it personally. I have solar panels on my house, I drive an electric car, and I also keep bees. Okay. My personal ethics also demand that I vote for who I want to, rather than voting strategically. So when I saw Coquitlam only had 3 candidates in the last election, I was annoyed that my riding didn't have more choices, so I thought, why don't I run? Okay. The Green Party is also the only party that will let me work for you, and if elected, it won't make me vote against my community's best interest. I also suspect the next election may result in a minority government, which would give the Green Party a lot of influence. Thank you.
Anita Zerillo, the NDP incumbent for Port Moody, Coquitlam. As we gather on the unceded, traditional, and shared territories of the Coast Salish people, we can see how climate change has so rapidly impacted salmon runs right here in our watersheds. As the wildfire smoke turned our skies orange last summer, we all know the devastating effects of these fires, heat domes, atmospheric rivers, and landslides. We just need to think back to the powerlessness we felt watching floods swallow up farms, homes, animals, and highways in Abbotsford. This isn't just climate change, it's a climate emergency. And our families are paying the price as decades of successive liberal and conservative governments dragged their feet or denied climate change altogether. The Liberals promised climate leadership but instead bought a pipeline and gave away almost $20 billion in handouts to big oil CEOs instead of investing in you. And now Trump is threatening to take away our water, the Arctic, and our sovereignty. These facts are serious, and we need serious politicians with the proven strength to stand up for people and the planet. And this is me and my NDP colleagues. Our solutions include retrofitting every home with energy-saving upgrades, slashing energy bills and reducing emissions, all while creating good-paying jobs, investing in transit and green infrastructure, and defending our oceans, waters, and Indigenous rights. The NDP will make polluters pay their fair share and protect our water and air. This is about climate action and climate justice. Justice for Indigenous communities, workers, and all people who are having to pay the price. The time of broken promises by the Liberals and the Conservatives is over. They do not deserve another chance off the backs of our young people. The NDP have never backed down from this fight, and we are here for you. Let's build a greener future together.
Well, thank you, Adele. Thank you, Harvey. And thank Ed for the land acknowledgement. So my name is Ron McKinnon, and I'm honored to have served as your Member of Parliament for Coquitlam, Port Coquitlam, for nearly a decade, and now as your Liberal candidate. Coquitlam, Port Coquitlam is a vibrant, diverse community. I live here. It's where my wife and I have lived for 30 years. It's where we raised our daughters. This is home. I know you're worried about climate change and protecting the environment. I share these concerns, and so does Mark Carney. The fight against climate change is one of the most significant battles we face today. Yet it's one we must win to build greener, healthier, and a stronger Canada for everyone. Mark Carney has been clear there is no quick fix to this global challenge. It takes smart policies and ambitious investments to find sustainable solutions that work for everyone. Our Liberal government has taken real action here, but we have more work to do. We have an ambitious and responsible plan to tackle the threat of climate change. On April 28th, we need your support to continue this fight, because together we can build Canada strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed, for your land acknowledgement, and great thanks to the Coquitlam Nation for stewarding these lands. Thank you, Tri-Cities TV, Harvey, Adele, and all of the organizers. My name is Zoe Roy, and I'm your Liberal candidate for Port Moody Coquitlam. I served on Port Moody City Council for 11 years until 2022, the Environmental Protection Committee, and 3 years on Metro's Climate Action Committee. I've lived here for 20 years, and I care deeply about the future that we're building for our children, our planet, and our community. We're already feeling the impacts of climate change, floods, wildfire, smoke, extreme heat, and the acidification of our oceans. I've seen firsthand how vulnerable some of our neighborhoods are, but I also know that with the right leadership, we can be part of the solution. That's why I'm running, to take what I've done locally and fight for our community at the federal level, to ensure that we're not left behind when it comes to funding for clean transit, green housing, and climate resilience. Mark Carney will be our next Prime Minister, and the Liberal Party will form government. This matters because our riding deserves an MP at the governing table, where our voices from Coquitlam and Port Moody are part of the conversation in moving forward. Mark's book, Values, is about resilience, sustainability, fairness, responsibility, solidarity, and humility. Read it. Carney was one of the first economic leaders to recognize the true cost of climate change and what we need to do to change course. If you believe in practical, progressive, science-based climate action and want a strong voice in Ottawa, then I'd be honored to earn your support. Thank you very much.
And question one is about funding climate change adaptation. Climate change impacts like floods, fires, drought, and heat waves are worsening. In Coquitlam, two lives were tragically lost last fall in a devastating landslide. All levels of governments are struggling to pay for the rising costs of climate change adaptation, preparedness, and damage. Meanwhile, global fossil fuel companies, which have raking trillions of dollars in profit, have avoided paying anything for the climate damages they have caused. How do you think that communities like Coquitlam should fund the escalating costs of climate change? And do you think that major polluters should have to pay a fair share for their contribution to climate change? So we will have liberal candidates come first, and then NDP followed by Green. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. We all have to face the consequences of the adverse effects of climate change. As mentioned in the question, there was a landslide earlier in the fall, and that happened very, very close to where I live, to my home. It struck me deeply, and its impact was shocking and it's shaking. It underscores why we absolutely need to take firm and resilient action against climate change. And as a Liberal government, we have taken considerable effort over the years to do that, and we have the commitment to continue to do so. In particular, we have committed $530 million to a climate leadership fund for Canada, and we have contributed considerable money to the various cities to help get that moving. In particular, I was able to announce just 3 months ago the delivery of $9.6 million to the city of Port Coquitlam to upgrade the facilities, the pumping stations at Maple Creek and Cedar Creek to mitigate some of the disaster, some of the problems that we're finding in these events such as the climate river that we saw before. So we are absolutely adamant that we must continue to take this fight seriously. We have been doing so, and we will continue to do so. Thank you.
Now we will have NDP candidates.
Well, thank you so much for this very important question. I know we do have municipal councillors in the audience today, so it's a good time to talk about it. We have a serious challenge on our hands, and no one would have thought that someone would be at home in Coquitlam and lose their life to a landslide. This is what we are dealing with, and when it comes, it comes. And we have had over 100 years of conservative and liberal governments successively over and over again that knew this was coming, and they have not invested proactively or post-actively to protect you and Canadians. So I think about FCM, the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, which I was a part of for a long time when I was in Coquitlam. And they've asked for a new funding model. We need to fund cities differently. They've been asking for a long time, and we are now past the point of needing a new funding model. Now, my Liberal colleague here has mentioned that there's these millions of dollars here and these millions of dollars there. We are talking about a $1 billion problem just in city infrastructure, locally here in Metro Vancouver. But let's talk about Indigenous communities, and the NDP has Lori Idlout in Nunavut and Nikki Ashton in Churchill, Manitoba, where the climate emergency is moving faster than anywhere else in this country, where 12 people sleep in two bedroom houses in shifts, because the federal government, Liberals and Conservatives, have not invested in Indigenous human rights, and they continue to leave communities behind. So as the NDP, we are committed to the new funding model for cities and rural communities. We are committed to not rolling over the rights of Indigenous people, and we need to do it together. Thank you.
Should the biggest polluters have to pay their fair share? yes, 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 yes. And the reason that we are where we are today is in part because of 100 years of consistent liberal and conservative grants and fossil fuel subsidies that keep these industries afloat, making trillions of dollars by pilfering our natural resources that belong to us and belong to the indigenous people that came here and belong to this land before we did. And in part with these 100-year history, if other parties were as serious about the climate emergency as they claim to be, I think they would withhold their king-making abilities in government until those climate initiatives were strengthened. And that's why I have put myself forward as the Green candidate for Port Moody, because I see what's happening. And when I saw that landslide, I had some familiarity with one of the lives lost there, the teacher, because I recently came out of the school system in SD43. So I was quite rattled by that. But we're not going to get anywhere by continuing this cycle of shock and awe and then shrugging it off as we get on to the next thing. We have to address this now, and the best way to do that is with a strong federal representative that will go out of their way to advocate against fossil fuel subsidies. Those have to end now. Billions and billions of dollars handed out by conservative, liberal, and NDP-aligned governments to these industries is what has led this crisis to get as bad as it is today. If the free market really worked the way it should, then oil would be a lot cheaper and we wouldn't be giving them free money to exploit our resources. That is appalling. And when people have had issues with things like carbon tax, we give more per dollar of tax from citizens towards subsidies than we even get back as a carbon tax rebate. So we have to end these subsidies now. Thank you.
Okay, I'm answering the first question. So the second question is about urban forests and green spaces. It can be challenging for growing communities to maintain and improve access to the benefits of trees and green space. What benefits would a healthy urban forest provide to citizens in your riding? And what steps will you take as a federal representative to ensure that citizens in your riding have equitable access to a healthy urban forest? And we have Liberal first, then NDP, followed by Green.
Friends, we live in the most beautiful place in the world. Urban forests are vital to our health and well-being, especially in the face of climate change. And the recent Wondrous Tree Fellowships Forum at Douglas College is a reflection of how important trees are. They reduce heat, improve air quality, support mental health, ensure that there's habitat for birds and wildlife, and absorb carbon. In Port Moody and Coquitlam, protecting and expanding green space isn't just a luxury, it's a climate necessity. When I was on council, I supported policies that protected our tree canopy and expanded public access to green space. I also pushed for more equity in how green space is distributed, because often lower income neighborhoods have fewer trees and more pavement, which leads to dangerous heat islands. Ron mentioned earlier, my colleague in Coquitlam, Port Coquitlam, $530 million for local leadership. That's directly to our cities for climate adaptation, but there's more coming. Federally, I will advocate for funding to support local tree planting, nature-based climate solutions, and park infrastructure in underserved areas. Our Liberal government has already committed to planting 2 billion trees across the country and protecting 30% of our land and oceans by 2030. And I'll work to ensure that this benefits our region. Everyone deserves access to clean, green, shaded public spaces, no matter where they live. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I think it is important for us to acknowledge that we don't have to decide between housing and trees in our communities. We can have both. And I think one of the most important things we need to do, along with thoughtful land use decisions in our communities, is to seriously make efforts to retain the mature trees that we have. We're losing far too many of them, and they are the major factor in having a solid tree canopy, which makes us a livable and healthy region. Trees do so much for our communities. They beautify our communities. They make our property values increase. They sequester carbon. They cool our communities. They are an excellent food source, and they provide us with biodiversity. It is something that any livable region in the world does an important amount of work to retain. I have a question for the Liberal government folks in the House who had the promise to plant 2 billion trees. I would like to know where we are on that, because I haven't seen much trees be planted, and I think that is definitely somewhere we need to get started on. Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, the Green Party recognizes the immense value of urban forests. As other candidates have mentioned, they reduce urban heat islands, they absorb flood-causing rainfall, they sequester carbon. There's also air quality. They filter pollutants, enhance mental health. They also support birds, pollinators, native plants, and reduce habitat loss. And around your house, they reduce your energy costs because they provide shade during the summer and, as they say, increase property values. Okay. So what to do? We could do federal funding for urban greening, planting trees in unserviced neighborhoods, mandate trees are planted in parking lots so we have shade during the summer instead of having roasted cars. Protect our existing trees and green spaces by preventing clear cutting for developments in favor of selective logging. Also, there's support schoolyard greening programs. Get schools involved planting trees. Fund green corridors to connect fragmented habitats. And support community tree stewardship. Volunteer planting, citizen science programs. Fast-growing suburbs like Coquitlam face a lot of pressure for clearing trees for housing, but it only makes the community worse. So the Green Party would be dedicated to federal funding for tree planting protection, stronger policies to halt deforestation in cities, and equitable access so all citizens, regardless of income, benefit from nature. So, thanks.
Now let's go to question number three. Question number three is about reducing urban carbon pollution. Since most of Canada's emissions stem from our cities, what role should the federal government play in reducing carbon pollution from the two biggest urban polluters, housing and transportation? On the housing side, provincial measures like BC's Zero Carbon Step Home and federal initiatives such as the now-closed Canada Greener Homes Grant broke new ground. Meanwhile, on transportation, efforts like the Federal Zero Emission Transit Fund and the Province Zero Emissions Vehicle Act got a real turn. Yet, many remain doubtful that this step alone will be suffice. What additional federal actions are needed to drive carbon pollution in city down to zero in these two key sectors? So we will have Green representative first, and then Liberal, followed by NDP. So you all have 2 minutes to respond.
Well, this question sure tackles a lot of issues facing the country right now, and especially the Lower Mainland. With housing, we need to step up with what we're doing in regards to the use of materials here. One thing that I would personally advocate for is it would be in line with our current Elbows Up movement if we were to focus more so on building co-op and smaller scale mass timber housing. One of the biggest quiet polluters is construction. Cement is imported. We are going to see a sand shortage. Most of the sand used in modern concrete production is stolen from countries like Scotland and sold illegally on the black market and then put into concrete that we use here. So we are destroying coastlines when we are building these large, unlivable and non-affordable towers. So one thing that I am a big advocate for is much more reasonable human scale developments made with Canadian mass timber, supporting Canadian industries, creating Canadian jobs. And that is a first step towards a greener economy that actually grows with people. And it's not just ticking a box for the most people we can cram per square kilometer for some sort of density bonus. We have to take a more holistic approach. We have to look at how every aspect and facet of construction is impacting the environment. as well with transportation and transit. I don't know if I can speak for all the candidates, but I took transit to get here today. I don't know if anyone else did. Let's see, it's a show of hands. Yeah, so what good is a zero emission bus service if there's no funding for it to even run? So we need to get stronger funding for our transit. It will get cars off the road. It's been proven. They are selling us on all these developments right now because they're promising people will take transit in lieu of using a car. But if there's no transit, well, we haven't really done anything, have we? So the Green Party is committed to taking a much stronger stance on both reducing the environmental impacts of construction and making transit and the like more affordable and environmentally conscious. Thank you.
So it first should be noted that all levels of government have a responsibility and a duty to play in this equation. We all know, however, that increasing public transit uptake will help to reduce congestion and emissions. And we have committed to $15 billion to across the country to improve transit funding across the country. And that includes in the Lower Mainland, we have delivered $1.3 billion to support the Surrey Langley SkyTrain extension, as an example. Canada's emissions are declining, and for the first time ever, Canada is on track to meet an emissions reduction target in 2026. But buildings play a central role in the lives of Canadians. They're where we work, where we live, where we gather, and where we raise our families. How we build and manage our buildings is critical to the health and vitality of the nation. This is particularly true at this time. As noted, housing, energy, affordability, and climate action form the intersection where Canadians' most pressing concerns meet. The Canada Green Buildings Strategy is our plan for greener, more efficient energy approaches to affordable homes and buildings. It is our plan to drive down energy bills, to help Canadians reduce their carbon emissions and workplaces, and make their homes and workplaces of Canadians more protected against the harmful effects of climate change. All of this while creating good paying, sustainable jobs.
As I said earlier, like, this is a serious conversation about where we are and our commitment to our young people. And if we think about the legacy of the Liberals and the Conservatives, it's not a good one. So subsidies for oil and gas, billions and billions of dollars of subsidy to oil and gas year over year, the worst emissions record reduction in the G7, and a 30-year deficit on infrastructure and housing. In the hundreds of billions of dollars on infrastructure deficits, Indigenous communities have been hit the hardest. So for tax fairness, if we had had tax fairness, if we had ended these fossil fuel subsidies, which has been longtime NDP policy, we would have had money to invest in community. We would have had money to invest in people. We would have had money to invest in healthcare. But Liberals and Conservatives, and let's not be fooled here, it is the NDP and the Conservatives that are in this race here in Port Moody, Coquitlam, and across the Tri-Cities. This is about a legacy of helping billionaires, bankers, and the biggest corporations versus the NDP's vision to help people. And not only is it a vision, we actually did it with the confidence and supply agreement. We brought pharmacare, dental care, $10 a day daycare, anti-scab legislation. We brought along a sustainable jobs plan that we had filibustered for 16 weeks by the Conservative. My friend Charlie Angus, who's been doing a lot of work on Elboa, 16 weeks he had to fight the Conservatives to get a round table to talk about sustainable jobs. So I'm here today to say that the NDP will do it, the Liberals will not, and the Conservatives aren't even here.
Thanks for tuning in. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. Democracy Now is next.